How does a football trial reject turn into a rock god with 120 million records sold? Simple. His name is Rod Bloody Stewart. Vixie Steele here, truth amplified, fueled by bad coffee and good riffs. Today, we're diving into the spiky-haired menace who outlasted trends, critics, and half the industry suits who said he'd fade by 72. Spoiler, they were wrong. Listen, if you hate honesty, tap out now.
All right, let's start at the start. Highgate, North London, 1945. Roderick David Stewart, kid of a Scottish dad and English mum, the youngest, growing up over the family shop. Proper working class roots. Railway modelling, paper rounds, odd jobs at a cemetery and a funeral parlour. The whole grit kit. Back then, he picked up the nickname Rod the Mod. Sharp suits, sugar water in the hair, club R&B and a harmonica that could peel paint off Studio 51. And about that Brentford signing myth? Yeah, no. He trialled. He wasn't signed. He says so himself in his book. And I believe the man over barstool legends.
Then fate throws him a lifeline at Twickenham Station, when Long John Baldry hears him wailing on the harmonica and hires him. Suddenly, it's the Marquee, Steam Packet, Shotgun Express, chaos, labels, no proper LPs. Then boom, Jeff Beck calls in 1967, and the Jeff Beck Group is where that rasp becomes a weapon. He's learning to sing over Beck's wild guitar like he's dodging traffic. Truth in 1968, Beck Ola in 1969, the US goes nuts. And Rod at the Fillmore East was so terrified he hid behind amps until a shot of brandy shoved him back into the light. That's the switch. Fear into fire, right there. Solo deal lands and the first album sketched the blueprint. Mandolins, folk, R&B heart and story songs. Then in 1971, Every Picture Tells a Story and Maggie May detonated. Album number one, single number one in the UK, US, Canada and Australia all at once. Are you kidding? He becomes the barroom poet who can also belt like a soul preacher. While that explodes, he's also fronting Faces with Ronnie Wood at his side. Beer-soaked Swagger and Stay With Me storming across American radio. But here's the tension. His solo success outpaces the band, and that raucous family splits by 1975. Classic case of one rocket pulling out of formation and burning hotter than the plane. He moves to Los Angeles and links with Tom Dowd and the Muscle Shoals crew. Atlantic Crossing smooths the radio polish and sharpens the charts. Sailing hits number one in the UK. A Night on the Town brings Tonight's the Night 8 weeks on top in the States. Then he shapeshifts again. Blondes Have More Fun and Do You Think I'm Sexy, disco rock swaggering down Main Street. Critics screamed sellout while the dance floor screamed louder. It hit number one around the world and he donated his royalties to UNICEF. Respect where it's due. Speaking of collaborators and influences, Jeff Beck obviously is the forge where the voice got steel. Ronnie Wood is the lifelong conspirator with the laddish grin and Telecaster bite. Clive Davis later steers the Great American Songbook era, turning crooner instincts into multi-platinum adulthood. And let's not forget Sam Cooke as the North Star. You can hear Cooke's conversational grace in Rod's best takes, from Reason to Believe to those standards that somehow didn't sound like museum pieces in his hands. Now, controversial corner. Did Do You Think I'm Sexy lift from Jorge Ben-Hur's Taj Mahal? Mate, that refrain is a twin. A lawsuit happened, it got settled, and Rod routed his royalties to UNICEF. To be fair, borrowing lines and vibes was currency back then, especially in disco and rock, where grooves migrate like birds. Rod himself has joked, there's nothing wrong with a good steal. Look, protect songwriters, absolutely, but Sexy did something new. It welded disco sheen to a rock star persona and kicked open different radio doors. It also paid for vaccinations at the UN. So if you hate it, fine, but don't pretend it didn't move the needle. Come at me in the comments if you disagree. I'll be there with receipts. Meanwhile, the 80s are neon, and he rides MTV like a pro, with Young Turks, Baby Jane, and Infatuation. mugging at the camera while half the rock dinosaurs refuse to evolve. In the 90s, he plants a flag on Copacabana Beach. 3.5 million people, a Guinness record. Who else can do that? Then into the 2000s, with the Great American Songbook and his first Grammy in 2004, he turns nostalgia into a payday while still sounding lived in. He's knighted in 2016, Sir Rod, and to be honest, that fits. Not the snooty bit, but the service to music bit. Recently, Time brings him back to writing with Blood Red Roses, then You're In My Heart with the Royal Philharmonic gave him another UK number one. He even refused a fat check to play Qatar over human rights, and that's a spine. And yeah, in 2024 he sold a big stake of the catalogue. Streaming vultures circle, artists secure the bag. I don't love the system, but I respect the move. Can someone explain why this bullshit is allowed? Oh right, because labels and platforms treat lifelong craft like a spreadsheet. Personal tangent, buckle up folks. I once ended up on stage at a Rod show mid-encore. Security waved a few of us forward and there I am, shoulder to shoulder, the band kicking at full throttle. Rod grins, nods and points the mic for a la-la bit. I swear, time slowed. He's got that pub storyteller thing, eye contact like you've known him since school. And then he's gone, sprinting to the other wing like a kid, the whole place surging with him. That's the secret. He makes an arena feel like the back room of a North London boozer. No pretense, just connection. For real, that's why people keep coming back. So when folks drone on about authenticity, oh, this again, was it real or was it commercial? Listen, he busked under bridges, got deported from Spain for vagrancy, hid behind amps from stage fright, then sang to millions on a beach. He can be the folk poet, the disco peacock, the standards gentleman, and the stadium ringleader. It's all real, because he lived it, and he sells it with that rasp. If your definition of purity can't handle reinvention, that's on you, not on the bloke who's been topping charts across 6 decades. Final jab. Originality debates are healthy, lawsuits fine, but the man turned backlash into UNICEF money, turned nostalgia into a Grammy, told Qatar to do one, and kept writing when people counted him out. That's what I'm talking about. Artistry with a spine. And if that offends your precious genre purity, I shouldn't have to say this, but here we fucking are, grow up. Music evolves, or it dies. All right, we're leaving it at that. Sir Rod from Highgate, Jeff Beck's apprentice turned global lifer and still a magnet for chaos and celebration. That's today's dose of reality. Subscribe, scream at me in the comments, and tune in tomorrow for more no bullshit truths. Until then, turn it up and don't let the cowards program your taste. Fucking hell.